Welcome to the Get Around 'Em podcast. Quite literally, just a girl talking shit about AFL footy because her friends are sick of hearing about it. I am your host, Alyssa Kodratis, and this is your round two wrap up. Welcome to the Get Around 'Em podcast. Let's start with my highlight of the week. I just put it on my socials so that you could go over there and see this if you haven't already seen it. It has got to be Jeremy Cameron blowing his imaginary whistle and holding the ball on the security and some of the Crows players who tackled a pitch invader to the ground at their game over the weekend. If you haven't seen the footage, please go and find it. It is on my socials now, and it was just hilarious. I thought it was hilarious anyway. So let's jump straight into some of the news from the week. The Tasmania Football Club, let's talk about some of their stats because they're freaking huge. As much as I think their jumpers are fucking horrible, you cannot deny that the launch of this team has been huge. I don't know if they were expecting this level of support from people, but I mean, their social media team have had to put out posts saying they had to print more stickers and stuff like that. So maybe they weren't expecting this big of a reaction. In 1 week, they have reached nearly 170,000 members, which is more than any other team officially reached in 2023. In 2023, the highest number of members for a footy team was Collingwood. They reached 106,400, and that was the most recorded for the year. So for 170,000 members for a team that's A, not playing yet, and B, only a week old, that is incredible. That is just huge. On their launch night, 80% of their founding memberships had been purchased in Tasmania. Their second biggest demographic was Victoria. Next up, free agents were confirmed by the AFL today. I will do a full episode on the full list, but there was 9 restricted free agents, including some notable names like Patrick Dangerfield, Blake Hardwick, and Tim English. Peter Wright is my next point of discussion. So he was referred straight to the MRO for taking out Harry Cunningham in what looked to be a completely accidental and not intentional collision. But it was classified as high contact because he braced to protect himself rather than raising his arms to compete for the ball. As I record this, there has been no news released on the results of Peter Wright facing the tribunal, which was scheduled to be today. I will obviously post the results on the Get Around of socials as they do come in. As I said, it was graded as careless conduct, severe impact, and high conduct. I honestly put this incident in the same category as the Braden Maynard, Angus Brayshaw one of last year. I don't think there was any malice in it at all. I think he went up, he saw what was coming, he braced himself for that impact, and he accidentally caught Cunningham high. I think that's all it was. But I guess the tribunal rules all and will tell us the results, I guess. In other news, Sydney Swans AFLW players Alexia Hamilton and Paige Shepherd have been banned for 2 games by the AFL after being found guilty of possessing an illegal drug. They were charged by the New South Wales Police in December last year after the AFLW season had ended. They were found to have an illicit substance on them while outside of a Sydney Eastern Suburbs hotel. They were both given conditional release orders and there was no conviction recorded, but the integrity unit has now interviewed them and subsequently found them both guilty of conduct unbecoming. Both women have made their apologies, but something I found really interesting to note here is that AFLW players are not currently subject to the AFL illicit drug policy that men's players are. That's really interesting. And I am of the opinion that they should also be subject to that illicit drug policy. I don't know if I talked about this on last week, but Hawthorn captain James Sicily, he managed to get his charge for kicking Essendon's Andrew McGrath, which was a 1-match ban, downgraded to a fine on appeal to the tribunal. It was originally graded as medium impact, but they got it down to low impact by arguing that the kick had no backswing and that if he had kicked a football with the same motion, it probably would not have gone 10 metres. I think you should not be going to kick an opponent at all, especially as the captain of a team. McGrath did come out and say that he didn't even have a bruise, but I still think it's the whole kicking an opponent. That's just kind of bullshit. So his one match ban was downgraded to a fine of $2,500. In some contract news, we have midfielder Tom Powell. He has signed on the dotted line for a 2-year contract extension with North Melbourne. Bailey Smith, who is currently still recovering from a knee reconstruction, has been offered a 2-year extension by the Bulldogs, but he is apparently waiting until further along in the season to make a decision on whether he will sign or not. Apparently, Geelong, Hawthorn, and Collingwood are all expected to line up and make him some offers. I'm wondering if this is going to be another Jack Ginnivan situation where if he moves on to another club, will it work out better for him? Will he thrive more at another club? I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. And there are currently 10 potential open spots for the mid-season rookie draft, including with Fremantle, Gold Coast, Essendon, Bulldogs, Richmond and Melbourne, while Carlton could have 2 and a possible 2 at North Melbourne as well. I feel like it was a bit of an action-packed week this week for the games, so we'll move straight into the game-by-game play. Game 1, it was Thursday night at the MCG, St Kilda versus Collingwood for Spud's game, with representatives from all clubs joining the teams on the field before the game to recognise the advocacy work of Danny Frawley, who is a St Kilda legend, as well as raise funds for the Danny Frawley Mental Health Centre. So that was really nice. The game ended St Kilda 94 versus Collingwood 79. Let's be honest here, Collingwood are just not playing like the team they were in 2023, and it's just really showing. I mean, Nick Dacos, he barely had any impact throughout the whole game, and it was his 50th, so it was a big one. But Josh Dacos, he did play a decent game, I will give him that. There has been a lot of chatter about Collingwood recently, being that they have now got the oldest list in the competition. I mean, many of their stars of their team are getting older. Jack Crisp, he's 30. Steele Sidebottom is 33. Jeremy Howe's also 33. Scott Pendlebury is 36 now. But even those under 30, their players are just not performing at that level that they were last year. And even in the years before that, they have won a final in 5 of the past 6 seasons, but I don't see them even getting anywhere near the finals this year. I posted a TikTok video during the game and I got a little bit of backlash for it. But you can't deny that some of the umpiring calls were more questionable than others in this game, including that Jack Higgins goal that was clearly kicked from outside the boundary line. That was just bullshit to me. During the game was stopped for 7 minutes after St Kilda player Mason Wood collided with his teammate at high speed, and he had to be taken off the ground in a motorised cart. He was transported to hospital and has since been told he has concussion and a broken collarbone. Liam Henry from the Saints, he's also going to be missing a minimum of 6 weeks with hamstring strain. And Max King, he was reported for rough conduct on Finn McRae in the 4th quarter, which has landed him a 1-match ban classed as careless conduct, medium impact and high contact. Friday night's game was at Adelaide Oval between the Crows and the Cats. The Crows went down 77 to the Cats 96. Tom Hawkins and Tom Stewart, who was celebrating his 150th game, they really took the game home for Geelong. Stewart finished the game with an equal AFL record of 10 intercept marks from 28 disposals. And there's actually a really funny video going around of Tom Hawkins getting the last laugh at a Crows fan who was sat behind the goals as he kicked one. While we're chatting about Tom Hawkins, he will also be celebrating his 350th game on Monday for Geelong's game in round 3. In terms of fines, Geelong midfielder Brandon Parfitt, he was slapped with a fine of $3,750 for tripping Adelaide's Jordan Dawson after the match review officer graded the incident as intentional conduct, low impact, body contact. Our first game of Saturday was Marvel Stadium North Melbourne versus Fremantle. Oh, this was quite the comeback for Freo, who were trailing for 32 points at halfway point of quarter 2, and they ended up taking out the game 102 to 76. all the Freo players seem to be pulling their weight, and I truly think they were all as much responsible for the win as each other. George Wardlaw from North Melbourne, he grabbed his second Rising Star nomination for his performance in this game. Second game of Saturday was at the MCG, Hawthorn versus Melbourne. Melbourne 93, Hawthorn 38. Stephen May was transported to hospital in an ambulance in the third quarter after Hawks player Choll landed on his chest during a marking contest. Jake Lever was also injured during the game and ended up on the sidelines, but not before he landed himself a $1,875 sanction for pushing Mitch Lewis into the boundary fence. The Hawks definitely had their sights set on Clayton Oliver from the get-go, including a very heavy bump from Jai Newcomb. But there was a couple of other fines handed out. There was one for engaging in a melee. I don't know how to say that. Nick Blakey and Justin McKinnery from the Swans and Jai Caldwell from Essendon all copped $1,875 sanctions because it was the first offence. And Tom McCartan copped $3,125 because it was his second offence. Sam Draper was reported for rough conduct on Jake Lloyd in the second quarter and was sanctioned 3750. Christian Petrarca, he just is an incredible player, and I loved a point in the game where he sprinted to the defence to spoil what was Hawthorn's last attempt at a goal. Nick Watson, he was finally able to kick his first goal as an AFL player after kicking six behind in the past couple of games. Lucky shot number seven at the goals seemed to be the one. Good on him. And Saturday night game was the Swans versus Essendon at the SCG. Essendon fell short, 101 to 131. The talk of this game is obviously the Peter Wright accident. It left the players really fired up, and Brody Grundy and Sam Draper, they actually gave away free kicks that led to an opposition goal in that second term. Tom Papley, he finished the game with 24 disposals, 4 goals. Chad Warner, 28 touches and 2 goals. And Errol Golden with 24 and 2 as well. Sunday's first game was the Bulldogs versus the Gold Coast Suns at Mars Stadium. Bulldogs 115 to Gold Coast 67, which was the Bulldogs' first win of the year at their home away from home in Ballarat. A little bit of controversy this week as Roy Lobb was omitted for the week in favour of Sam Darcy, who pulled his weight, came home with 2 goals, 15 disposals and 12 hitouts. Player of the game obviously had to be Cody Waitman, who had an equal career best game, finishing up with 6 goals. And everyone's favourite captain celebrated his 100th game as captain with a stellar game on his behalf, 31 disposals, 10 clearances and 2 goals for himself. It was a very touchy game. Liba kept things rough with Matt Rao throughout the game, but I don't know what Leith Vandermeer did to the Suns, but whatever it was, they were keen to just keep roughing him up, but obviously his teammates weren't having that. There was actually 7 fines handed out during the game, and unfortunately for a couple of Bulldogs, they copped double whammies. A third quarter scuffle involving Tom Liberatore, Aaron Norton, Leith Vandermeer, and then Alex Sexton from the Suns earned them all $1,875 fines. And then Liber and Vandermeer were also involved in one in the fourth quarter with Nick Holman from the Suns, and that got them another $1,875. But Nick Holman actually got $3,125 because it was a second offence. Ed Richards, he played a really strong first 3 quarters before being sidelined with concussion. Nick Caulfield was also taken off in the first quarter with a shoulder injury, who was replaced by Oscar Baker, who stepped up to the plate and kicked 3 straight through the middle. A quick update on Nick Caulfield. He has dislocated his shoulder and now does require shoulder reconstruction that is apparently penciled in for Wednesday. This has ended his AFL return after just 2 games. And we'll see him sidelined for at least 3 months. In game number 7 for the week, Richmond 92 versus Port Adelaide 122, Travis Boak celebrated his 350th game, becoming just the 23rd player in VFL AFL history to hit that number. Second quarter, 100% belonged to Shea Bolton with 10 touches and 2 goals in that time, leaving Richmond 11 points up on Port Adelaide at halftime. Just 2 fines in this game, one for Darcy Byrne-Jones from Port Adelaide for rough conduct against James Trezise. Just 2 fines in this game, one for Darcy Byrne-Jones from Port Adelaide for rough conduct against James Trezise. Was his second offence, so it did cost you $5,000, but $3,125 for an early plea. And then Toby Nankervis from Richmond, he was also reported for rough conduct against Ivan Soldo. I don't know, but that was his first offence and only $2,500 for the early plea. Final game of the week, Sunday night, Optus Stadium, West Coast versus GWS Giants. Harley Reid's first game at home, and you could tell because the crowd would cheer every single time he was anywhere near the ball. I'll agree, he's a good player, but I feel like the huge hype and pressure on him is going to hit at some point, kind of like a Bailey Smith situation, but worse. West Coast went down 43 to 108, where you could really feel the absence of Oscar Allen. It was quite loud and clear throughout the game, and it has been revealed that he will be out for at least the next 2 months, and the Eagles are really going to have to find someone to step up and fill that void that he leaves. This is actually GWS's best season start in history. They're currently undefeated, and I really think they're very strong contenders for the finals this year. All right, next week's fixtures. We've got Thursday, Brisbane versus Collingwood at the Gabba. Good Friday games. We have North Melbourne versus Carlton at Marvel Stadium and the Dockers versus Adelaide Crows at Optus. Saturday, we've got 2 more games, Essendon versus St Kilda at Marvel Stadium and Port Adelaide versus Melbourne at Adelaide Oval. Easter Sunday game this year are the Bulldogs versus West Coast at Marvel Stadium, Richmond versus Sydney at the MCG. And for Easter Monday, we've got Hawthorn versus Geelong at the MCG. Obviously, that leaves buys for the Gold Coast Suns and the GWS Giants. That's all I've got for you this week. There will be a second episode on those free agents coming out this week. But other than that, I'll see you next week for round 3. It's wrap up.